Welcome to the Marketing Seekers Podcast. My name is Russell Brunson, and I'm what you call a serial entrepreneur, but with a twist. You see, 50% of my time, I'm the CEO of ClickFunnels, helping over 100,000 brands to grow their companies with funnels. And the other 50% of my time, I'm actually in the trenches using ClickFunnels to grow the startups I believe in. During this podcast, I'll take you behind the scenes and show you how we are bootstrapping ClickFunnels and my other businesses from startup to nine figures and beyond. Welcome to the show. What's up, everybody? This is Russell Brunson. Welcome back to Marketing Seekers Podcast. And oh, do I have a treat for you guys today? I'm actually heading into the office right now to do a live webinar with a couple of my friends, and I'm so excited for it. So first off, we've got Whitney Dixon, who is the chief facilitator over at Secrets of Success, our new brand, our new company. She's doing an awesome job. She's running a book club every single month, going through the coolest books in the history of all time that have been lost to the ages nobody even knows about. And then I also got Eileen Wilder and Annie Grace are going to be on the call as well. And we're going to be talking about a new book set. I say new in quotation marks. An old book set from one of the greats of all time, Robert Collier. And the webinar is going to be amazing. It's going, we're going live in like an hour and a half, 2 hours. And so what I want to do for this week's podcast is let you guys listen in. Some of you guys are probably on it, hopefully. We have like 1,700 people registered for it, which is cool because that's just from the Secrets of Success email list, which we've been building. And anyway, if you've been following the journey as a funnel hacker, you know that we're literally following the linchpin to a T. And we had a whole bunch of people register for this webinar. From there, they signed up for the Mifki on thank you page. And but it's all just coming off of affiliates and off of the list that we have for Secrets of Success, which is kind of cool. So it's fun watching this little business and brand grow, and it's been awesome. So anyway, but we're doing this free webinar. And obviously, the goal of the webinar is to get people to register on thank you page. You know, it's a type of dramatic demonstration, right? A thank you page. They're going to go and register for the Mifki and get membership. And then the training call is all about us just going through the book that we're doing this month for the book club, the book set, which is Robert Collier's Secret of the Ages, which is so insanely good. Again, another book set that's been lost to time. And so we're going to talk about our favorite things. And there's so many good things in this book set. I'm excited to hear what Annie and Eileen and everyone has to say about, you know, their opinions on it. And then from there, I'll do a really soft pitch. It basically says, hey, if you're not a member yet of Secrets of Success, go to secretsofsuccess.com/roundpegs and go get the Mifki and join a 30-day trial and be part of the book club, which literally starts tomorrow. So anyway, I'm going to, as soon as the webinar's over, I'm going to pull it, and then we're going to, the audio and attach to this intro, and we're going to play it for you guys, so that way you can just sit here and actually hear the webinar. Again, hasn't happened yet, but I'm assuming that it's going to be insane. You're getting a lot of cool value from all of us talking about some cool personal development things, talking about Robert Collier, which as a marketer, you should know who he is. He wrote the Robert Collier Letter book. But then as a personal development guru, man, he is one of my favorites of all time. So anyway, I hope you enjoy this webinar. And again, there'll be a really soft pitch at the end. Go to secretsofsuccess.com/roundpegs and become a member. So for you guys, I'm going to pre-give you the call to action because you haven't yet. Like, come on now. What are you waiting for? This is like one of my coolest businesses, projects I've ever done, and it's been so much fun. So the book club for this book starts literally tomorrow whenever you're listening to this. So, but you should jump in there, get the 30-day trial, join the book club, have some fun with it, and see if we can help make you more successful by working on your psychology. It's going to be awesome. So with that said, I hope you enjoy the webinar, and I'll see you inside the members area of Secrets of Success. All right, everybody. Talk soon.
For those of you who do not know who I am, or if you're brand new here, my name is Whitney Dixon. I'm the head of the mastermind here at Secrets of Success, and I am so excited to be with you guys. If you are a member of this mastermind, then you are going to hear from me pretty often. I teach the book club discussions. I'm the facilitator and the trainer for our book club trainings, and every single Friday, I hop on a Zoom call with everyone that's a member of the program, and I dive deep into dissecting and discussing every single book that we talk about every month. And it's just a super, super cool thing that we do together.
It's the greatest job in the world, right?
It really is. It's like my dream job. I absolutely love it. So this month we are starting a brand new book, and we're going to be studying what's called The Secret of the Ages. It's by Robert Collier. And to celebrate, we are hosting this masterclass for all of you today. It's going to be so much fun. So the first person I want to introduce to you guys is somebody that you already know and you love learning from. And I know you guys all respect him. He's a super cool guy. He's the founder of Secrets of Success. And he's developed this crazy passion for collecting hundreds, if not thousands, of timeless personal development books from decades long ago. His collection includes original work from Napoleon Hill, from Charles F. Hanel, Earle Nightingale, just to name a few, along with lots of other historical leaders. And today he is going to share with us why he loves Robert Collier so much. And he's going to share some super cool stories about him. And he's going to help us understand what we can expect to learn inside of Mr. Collier's book. So without further ado, open up your chat boxes once more and please help me welcome one of my very favorite people, Mr. Russell Brunson.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Whitney. I appreciate the introduction. And in a minute, I'm going to introduce our other two guests here who are going to be helping with the call today because we're going to dive deep into this book set and have some fun. So I'll introduce Annie and Eileen here in a minute. But before we do, I want to introduce the real guest of this of today's class, which is Robert Collier. And he's one of my favorite people. And it's funny because I've actually had a chance not to meet him personally. It's funny, like, I don't know if you guys are the same way. When I read a book about someone, I feel like I know them. And I, like, sometimes I'm like, oh, like, so-and-so told me this thing. I'm like, well, they didn't actually tell it to me. I read it and they're no longer on this earth. But anyway, like, I feel like I met him twice. So the first time I met him in my life is after he'd already passed. But he wrote a book. So for any of the entrepreneurs in the world, if you're like me and you studied business and like, and copyright and things like that, he wrote a book that was very famous at the very beginning of my journey for me. It's called The Robert Collier Letter Book. And check it out. I've got a copy of it right here, the Robert Collier Letter Book. And this one is actually signed. I got a lot of, he signed a lot of stuff. So I got like a signed copy. But this was a book that he taught people about copywriting, how to write sales letters to get somebody to buy their products and their services. So I read this 20 years ago when I was first getting started on my entrepreneur journey. And I fell in love with Robert Collier then. I'm like, this guy's amazing. I was learning all this stuff about business and how to write sales letters, and how to use persuasion to sell and all sorts of stuff. And that's where my whole like, love for Robert Collier initially started. And then fast forward to a couple of years ago when I started trying to build my library, and I was trying to get first edition books from all the most amazing people ever, both in business and personal development. I was like, oh, I want a first edition Robert Collier letter book, which by the way, I still don't have one yet. This is the third edition. I've got a third, a fourth, a fifth. I have like almost every edition except for the first. I had not found one yet. So if you find one, definitely I'm looking for one. But I went to go buy this. And so I searched on eBay and everywhere searched Robert Collier. And lo and behold, what popped up was not just the Robert Collier letter book, which I assumed was his only book. What popped up was all of this stuff behind me. He was one of the most prolific authors. And what I didn't understand at the time is the thing he was marketing, the thing he was writing these letters to sell were his personal development books and courses and trainings and everything else. And it was just, so I started buying all, like everything I get my hands on. So yeah, it's cool if I do story time to show you some cool, like Robert Collier stuff that I was freaking out about. The first thing I'm going to show you is actually the last thing I found. So Robert Collier had a magazine back in 1928, and he only published, I think, seven issues. And I found three of the seven, and the title is called How 7, which is a strange name, but How 7, January 1928, with the very first edition. And it looks kind of like a comic book. It's really thick, though. Like, his books were not, they weren't like a magazine. Like, it's like a book, and yeah. It was published like every single month. So this was January's, this is February's issue, and this is March's issue of House 7. Super rare. Again, I've only found these three. I have two copies of issue one, so I've actually been reading issue one because I'm scared to take them out of their plastic. And it's amazing. And so that was his first magazine. He ran that for 7 months, and then he stopped for some reason. I'm not sure what it was. And they launched a new magazine, which you can see back here, which is also insanely rare, and it's called Mind Inc. And so this is a copy of Mind Inc. I don't know if you can see it very well. Oh, there it is. It's like a size of a Reader's Digest, but same thing. It's like, it's a magazine, but it's like hardcore. Like, he was writing a book every single month on your mind and personal development, things like that. And these are like, they're beautiful. Like, look at all of them. They're different colors. Like, they're all, anyway, I have almost a complete set of Mind Inc. I'm trying to get all of them from there. There's a couple of things that he published. So many cool things. This isn't even all of them. There's another book he had called The Magic Word, which is really good. There's one called The God in You, which is insane. He very much, he kind of crossed over like Christianity and spirituality and then personal development. Like, it was interesting, the New Thought movement, when these ideas were coming to people's minds and they were studying, they were learning him. And then there was also like Christianity, and there was this weird time where these two things kind of bumped into each other. I think like some people were confused. Like, some Christians were like, this stuff's evil. And some were like, but this is so helpful. And like, they were trying to like figure out this middle ground between the two. And so a lot of the writings you'll notice, like, there's this kind of this blend in between of like Christianity and new thought movement. And they're trying to like really figure out how these things all fit together, which is really fascinating. They did a bunch of other book sets. The next one, this one's so cool. So this is called The Book of Life. This is the original like mailer that was mailed in 1924. And there's a whole book series. I'll pull out one of them here. It's called The Book of Life, and there's Robert Collier. And he only published this one for a year. And then for some reason, he's like, I don't like the name Book of Life. I'm going to republish it. I'm going to change it from The Book of Life to Secret of the Ages, which happens to be the books that we're studying this month. So this is Secret of the Ages, and it's a book set. It's not just a book. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 books. And this is the first edition of Secret of the Ages. That was the Book of Life, which then became Secret of the Ages. And then just this morning, I was going through all my archives, and I found the coolest thing I want to show off. This is for the marketing nerds. This is actually the sales letter to sell the Secret of the Ages, which is, it's like an advertorial booklet. As you guys read through the, when you go through the book this month with everybody, you'll know some stuff, but like a lot of like the genie in the lamp. So like the genie in the lamp, and then you come inside of it. And like, this is part of the ad is like, here's your genie. What will you ask of him? And it's got the book set there. Like, oh, it's so cool. Again, this is the stuff he was talking about in the Robert Collier letter book, how he's writing ads like this to go and promote his book sets and his courses and things like that. And it's like, just telling stories, and it's anyway. So this is the whole thing he used to sell that that book set, which is cool. And then I'll share one more thing, and we'll dive into this a little bit. After he wrote Secret of the Ages, then a couple years later, he wrote another book set, which actually we're almost finished scanning and getting the audiobooks. So this will be in the members area here in the next couple months. But it's called The Life Magnet, and this is the next Robert Collier set. And what's crazy about this one is interesting is the first two books in the book series, maybe the first three. I think it's the first two. That might be an extra one. The first two books are called The Secret of Gold. So volume one and volume two is called The Secret of Gold. And it transitions. And then the last five volumes are called Life Magnet. But this is a book set that goes together. So anyway, I wish I could ask him questions like why he did that, what he was thinking. And I have so many Robert Collier questions I'll ask him someday when we get to hang out again. But anyway, so that's Robert Collier. That's why I'm excited. Like, again, from a business standpoint, the guy was brilliant, one of the best copywriters who's ever lived on this planet. But what he was selling was the thing he was more passionate about, which is personal development, all the stuff we're talking about. It's been fun. The last 3 or 4 days, I had a chance to go and binge, listen, and read the entire Secret of the Ages course. And also, I know that that Whitney's been reading because she's going to be going through the book club starting tomorrow. You guys jump in, you're going to be going through book number one. But also, I sent out a message to Eileen and Annie, who are two of my favorite people on this planet. I was like, hey, I'm like mass speed reading this entire book set. Do you guys want in? And both of them said yes. And then like for last week, we've been going back and forth on Voxer, freaking out about all the different things we're learning. And I was like, would you guys be willing to come and jump on and kind of talk about this on the call with everyone? And we can all share some of our favorite things that we're learning inside this book to get people excited enough to go and jump in and be part of the book club this month with Whitney. So I want to introduce my two other guests who are here today. So the first here is Eileen Wilder. So Eileen is someone who's been in our world now for 4 or 5 years. One of the greatest speakers I've ever seen, teaches speaking training, but also, you know, her former life was a minister, pastor, and big hardcore personal development person. And anything else I should add to that, Eileen, besides that?
That was awesome, Russell. Yeah, that was really good. Yeah, that's it. This book is so fire. I'm so excited to dive into this today. My mind is like constantly exploding. So I'm so excited to talk about this.
Yeah. His book's amazing. And the next guest is Annie Grace. And Annie's someone, again, who came into our community a couple years ago. And what's fascinating, I love talking to Annie. She's probably, I always tell people, well, outside of like my two smartest people in my world are Todd Dickerson, who programmed ClickFunnels, and Annie are like the two smartest people I ever met. And so like, I'll share something to Annie, and then she'll take it like 45 levels deeper. And you're like, how does your brain work? This is amazing. And so her work that she does in her business, her mission is like helping people overcome alcohol addiction and things like that, but also other addictions as well. And a lot of it has to do with like your mind, all of it has to do with your mind and like, and how you, and so it's really fascinating because we get to hear, every time we share an idea, she shares ideas from her lens and how it works and subconscious mind, the conscious mind, all sorts of things. And it's just always fascinating to hear her perspective. So anything else I should add to that, Annie, that I'm forgetting?
No, that was great. So fun to be here. I love it.
Awesome. Okay. Well, the game plan then for the next hour or so is to go through just some sections of the book. And I'm going to kind of start off and feel free, all three of you guys, if you want to jump in and cut me off for ideas. I'm going to talk a little bit more, mostly about kind of book number one, because just to hopefully get you guys excited, because the book club starts tomorrow with Whitney and I want you guys to dive in. But book number one really starts going into one of my favorite topics in the whole world, which is understanding like your mind versus your subconscious mind. He goes deeper than that, but like I have a huge fascination with the subconscious mind, how it works and how you can trade it. And it was such a big part of my wrestling career that I didn't even know was happening. Now looking back, it's like, it was such a big part and it's been fascinating to me. Like, it's my favorite thing to learn about. So I'm excited to talk about it today. The first thing, there were a couple of things he talked about at the beginning of the book that I thought were really cool. He said, the whole purpose of existence is growth. He says, to cease to grow is to perish. I think that was interesting because, I don't know, most of the people that I know around me in my world, not like the world I've kind of created, but most people in the world that I, you know, that we exist in, most people aren't growing. They're surviving. They're thriving. They're trying to get to Friday. They're trying to get to the weekend. They're trying to get to like the next thing, you know, and they're not trying to grow in any aspect of life, you know, mentally, physically, spiritually. Like, they're just kind of like trying to like just endure and hopefully make it to the end. And they, you know, like, it's interesting. And like for him to like lead with the very beginning, like the whole purpose of existence is growth, and to cease the growth is to perish. I was thinking about that just with the context of everything inside Secrets of Success. Like, for me, this has given me like a renewed purpose and reason to grow, to like study, to think, and to get the wheels in my head spinning again. I think for me, a lot after being successful in something for a long time, like you kind of stop growing. Napoleon Hill talks about this in Outwitting the Devil, like people becoming drifters. And he said, you know, a lot of people drift from the very beginning. They never even pursue the path. Other people get successful and they get to the point where they have success. And then the devil gets them to start drifting again. And I think for me, it was like, I was going through a phase in my life where I was kind of starting to drift and just kind of like being there. And like this whole business and this, like all this stuff we're doing together as a community is like, is firing me up and getting me to grow again. Which is good. Cause I feel when I'm not perishing, I feel alive and I feel excited, which is, I think such a cool thing. Okay. So a couple things I want to talk about with the subconscious mind that he talked about that, was really cool. He referenced it. He talked about, he said the subconscious mind is the thing that makes you superhuman. He talked about, you know, one of the examples he talked about is a runner who's like running, and then somehow like at the very end they're able to like get this thing where it doesn't make sense. They can run faster than normal, right? Or one of the case studies he talked about is like where someone, like a log fell on someone or their car or something, and the two kids ran over and grabbed it, picked up the log and pushed it off the car and saved the person. And they went back next day and they tried to pick up the log and they weren't physically able to. And it's like, what's the thing that makes you superhuman? Like, I'm not physically capable of doing this. Like, I know consciously I cannot lift that thing up. But somehow when my subconscious mind needs me to do something, I'm able to override the conscious limitations and abilities and actually be successful. Mm-hmm. And we had a really cool experience just like a month ago with my son, Bowen, who's one of my twins. He's a wrestler. And it's crazy. We were doing this thing in practice where we were all going and we were doing pushups, right? So we did as many pushups as we could. I think everyone got like 50 pushups, you know, and everyone's like burning out. We fall down. And we did the second set as many as you can. And the third set, we started doing them. We were going, and I got to like the third set. I got to like, I don't know, 35 or 40. I'm like, I'm an old man. That's awesome. Like that third set, I got so many pushups. And then as we're going about 20 or so, or about 30 or so, by the time I'm falling, one of our coaches is like, hey, everyone, just know this is a competition to see who can last the longest. And this is again the third set at the end of a long practice. Everyone's just wrecked. Like they're all covered in sweat anyway, and they're trying to do pushups, and they keep going. And I'm, you know, I've given up. So I'm watching this. I see all the kids, and they're going, and then. You know, after like 50 pushups, like half of them drop off, and then like 60 more drop off, and then like 70 more, and then, you know, 80 pushups. And then by the time you get 100, there's like five kids left. And Bowen, my son's one of the kids, and he's still doing pushups, and then it's crazy. And then it gets like 110, 120, 130, and like people are dropping off, like 120 or so, there's two kids left. There's Nate, who's his wrestling partner, and Bowen, and then 120, they get to 140, 150, whoa, 170, 180. 200, and it's been like 220 or some of that before finally Bowen's muscles literally collapse on him and it's over. And it was, wow, just like one of those things where I was just like, our conscious mind like thinks like this is what I'm capable of, right? But like what we're actually capable of is so much different. And I remember talking to Bowen like a week later, and he's like the biggest thing I've learned from wrestling and from this whole experience is like, he's like, I learned that I'm capable of doing so much more than I think I can. And I think like when I read that and like start thinking about Bowen, that experience, I just like, that's the power of the subconscious mind. This thing that like we keep limiting ourselves. Like, I'm not able to do that. I can't learn a language. I can't start a business. I can't, you know, run a marathon. Whatever the thing is, like we have these limitations that are consciously replacing ourselves where it's like, we're actually capable. Our subconscious mind is capable of almost anything, which I thought was really fascinating. So I don't know if any of you guys have experienced anything you want to add to that or take away, but I think that was one of the first things for me. I was just like, God, this is such a cool thing. Like if I can learn how to tap into that more, like what I'm actually capable of, I don't even know. I don't think any of us knows right now.
Thinking about this, Russell, with like just this idea that we've been talking about recently with resistance, because in his book, Robert says that it's actually that those supplies happen after you think you can't do anymore. And so I used to run marathons, and I remember like, I'd be like, okay, I have a 13-mile run today. And I'd get out there and the first mile would feel literally impossible. I was like, there's no way. But somehow if you pushed through like to 2 miles, then all of a sudden you're at mile 9, mile 10, and you're like, I don't even understand how I did that. I literally for sure thought there was no possible way I could run 13 miles. And it was on the other side of the really difficult resistance. Robert says that there's just unlimited stores that are accessed on the other side of it, but you have to push through it. And he's like, that's where most people fail. Like that's where people get blisters on their hands from lifting weights and then they stop, or people get sore and then they stop, or people get tired and then they stop. And it's like exactly in your story with Bowen, like if you push through, then it's released on the other side of the resistance.
It's really cool. It reminds me of Satama Gali, who spoke at FHL last year. He did a presentation one time, and like only I remember the presentation, and he had 7 points. One of them was stop stopping. He's like, stop stopping. He's like, you keep stopping, stop stopping, just keep going. And like, so I always think that when I'm going through them, like, stop stopping, keep going, Russell, keep going. Anyway, super interesting.
I remember one time that you filmed 48 videos or something in one day, and then you messaged me, like, trash talking me, like, hey, Alien, I just filmed 48 videos. And then I was like, oh, snap. I want to beat Russell Brunson. Like, one thing in my life. So I filmed 51 videos. Thank you very much. And
a record shall not be broken.
But I guess, right. But I remember thinking, I don't think, and the film crew said, we've never done this before. I don't think we've never physically seen anyone do 51 videos. But I felt like I saw a new capacity that I didn't know was there previously. So now it's kind of like it's increasing my limit. So that's a fascinating thing about our subconscious. Like what is that we don't even know what we're capable of? Like, we don't even know. Maybe even tried it before.
Love how Elaine's starting with some smack talk.
So. Yeah, I thought that I would just kind of like anchor
so up.
I don't have anything else to say after this point.
Well, this is not smack talk, but it was almost smack talk, because I remember we were holding our breath. And he's like, who's here in 3 minutes? Who's here in 4 minutes? And then all of a sudden he said, oh, there's two people left. It's Russell and Annie. And I was like, oh, now it's on. And then like 3 minutes and 30 seconds, he's like, okay, like we're at 3 minutes and 30 seconds. And I breathed. And then I think Russell breathed like a second after, but
I'll die if I need to. For anyone listening, you're like, you held your breath for 3 minutes. Yeah. We did these crazy, like these breathing exercises where you breathe really heavy and hyperoxygenate your blood, and then you hold your breath, and it's crazy. You hold your breath for like 3, 4, 5 minutes. Anyway, it's insane. Which again, subconscious mind, like it's just anyway.
You do. It's amazing.
Yeah. Okay, I got a couple of notes on subconscious mind that I pulled out from the book, the first book, that I thought were really, really cool. I'll share. So a lot of times I get confused, like is this my conscious mind thinking or whatever? And he said that your conscious mind always is linked to the five senses. Like the only way it gathers data is through the five senses. So it's like, oh, I see that. I can touch it. I can smell that. Like, if it's something like that, then it's like, this is your conscious mind seeing and addressing and doing things, right? And so the conscious mind is like the watchman of the gate. It's the thing that's like, it's protecting the conscious mind, because this isn't Robert Collier, but this is Earl Nightingale, who we're actually flying out next month to Chicago to go to Nightingale Conant like offices, which I'm really excited. But Earl Nightingale, in his best-selling record, The Stranger's Secret, I still think his was like the best explanation. We talked about how your subconscious mind is like a garden. It's like your conscious mind is the gardener who's planting these different seeds. And so, like, you know, Robert Collier said that he said that your conscious mind is like the watchman of the gate. It's the thing that they like protects and lets things go by. But then what Earl Nightingale said, he said that your mind doesn't care what you plant. It's like you can plant anything you want. Whatever you plant, though, will grow. So he's like, if you want to plant nightshades, which is a poison to plant, it'll grow. But if you want to plant, you know, apple trees, it'll grow that. Like, it doesn't care what you plant, but whatever you plant, it will grow. And I think about that right now, especially with my kids. I keep trying to show, like, anyway, you know, kids, we love them, but they're so stubborn. But my kids, I'm like, the things you're listening to, this is your subconscious mind or your conscious mind, the watchman is like telling your brain, like, oh yeah, plant these seeds from the music you're listening to, the movies you're watching, this stuff. I'm like, and those things, all those things affect you at a deep level. Social media affects you. Like, those are the seeds you're allowing to be planted. In fact, wow. I had a little issue happening on social media this week. So I deleted social media off my phone for the last 4 days. And the last 4 days, I have been so much happier. I've been like, the watchman, like, finally, like, blocked all this, the garbage, and was like, let's start planning some positive. It's like, I blocked that. I binge read Secret of the Ages, and I'm on fire now, even though, you know, all these things are happening. So it's like, so it's understanding that. Yeah, and this is a quote from the book. He says, speaking of subconscious mind, he says, it is, in short, the most powerful force in life, and when properly directed, the most beneficial. But like a live electric wire, its destructive force is equally great. It can be either your servant or your master. It can bring evil or it can bring good. So it's all about you learning how to train it to bring you. It's like, basically, it'll bring you whatever you desire the most. And so it's like, what are the things you're desiring and thinking about and planting? And if you plant the right things, it changes everything for you. And mm-hmm. I think it's so hard because, you know, I think a lot of people think life is happening to them versus, like, literally a conscious mind is this watchman of the gate protecting you and, like, making sure you're planting the right things. So anything to add to that, anybody?
I do. And I'll try to keep it, like, brief, but I think it's so, I love it when science confirms, especially when this book was written in 1926. It's like, what is happening? How does he understand all of this stuff? And then we come back over. So MIT defines a thought as an electromagnetic chemical response in the brain. And so what that means is it's both electricity, as in terms of, like, it has energy and it travels, but it has to travel along something. And the chemical is two forms. It's both protein, the actual gray matter that constructs and gets built, and chemical in terms of that gray matter then releases chemicals that make us feel emotions, right? You can think a certain thought and feel dread. You can think another thought and feel excitement. And those feelings have different levels of energy. And so as you plant these thoughts and as you repeat these thoughts and as you think these thoughts, especially in times of emotion, those patterns in your brain actually, like, physically protein level construct, and they're called dendrites. So the neuron itself ends up growing up like a tree. So you can imagine that you have these structures of protein along which the electricity is more easily able to travel. So imagine the first time you think one of these positive thoughts and it feels really uncomfortable. And I don't know about you guys, but, like, for me, the first time I was trying to be really positive, it felt like, oh, I'm just forcing this. This is awkward. It feels uncomfortable. And that's because I don't have the highway in my brain. I don't have the protein structures in my brain for that thought. But if I think it over and over again, it's not like, at first it's like driving a Ferrari on a dirt road. It's super bumpy, but ultimately it becomes like driving a Ferrari on an Autobahn. And then that's how Napoleon Hill says, you just, you know, if you're people who are successful, they can't help being successful because they've planted those right seeds. People who are not successful, if they don't do something about it, they can't help not being successful because they planted those seeds, because the physical structuring mirrors everything you're saying. And it's all throughout our body, throughout our nervous system, that those proteins and chemistry, like, occur and create these feedback loops. It's really, really fascinating.
I should follow up on this. I think you sent me the picture, because, like, for me, I was always like, your conscious mind's here, your subconscious mind's probably somewhere. But, like, you sent the picture, I believe, right, on Voxer, that showed, like, the nervous system of the entire body. And, like, the subconscious mind is not, it's not part of our,
it's part of our brain, right? It's literally everything. Explain that? It's your entire nervous system. So when you have a thought and then you have a feeling, you don't have a feeling in your mind, you have a feeling in your body. And so that emotion in your body is related. That's how your mind is. And so often, interestingly, and we talked about this a little bit before, but your subconscious mind, once it's patterned in, because it's all throughout your body, all throughout your nerves, which go everywhere, you can feel something up to 7 seconds before your conscious mind becomes aware of why you might be feeling that. So you see somebody, they trigger you, you can have a response. And if we were to count to seven, it's a long time before your body, your mind actually says, okay, what's wrong? Right. And it's so that we react. So we don't, you know, you react, if you're in a car, you react and swerve out of the way before you even consciously realize there's a problem. So it's fascinating. So yeah, your mind is all throughout the entirety of your body.
So cool. It reminds me of what Elsie Lincoln Benedict said in the first book, from the first book club, How to Get Anything You Want, about, like, it's not your thought, it's how you feel about the thing, right? So, like, you have a goal and all of a sudden you feel this, like, gut pain, like, oh, like, that's your subconscious mind that has something programmed, like, that does not want that thing. No matter how much you consciously, like, I'm going to go pursue that thing. Like, I see all the time in my business, people, like, sign for coaching, I'm going to get two comma club award. They're consciously, they want the goal, but then they're sick to their stomach, or they feel guilt or remorse or whatever the thing that they're feeling from patterns prior that their subconscious mind has recorded, then, like, because they don't feel that way. And it's like, that's the thing you had to release so they can actually move forward and progress. So interesting.
Like Robbins, he says the business grows as fast as the psychology of the owner grows, which literally is because we create a goal and then we have these subconscious blockers to that goal. So I create a goal of, I want to make a lot of money, but then I have all of this, you know, nasty subconscious belief system that money is bad, money is evil, rich people are bad. There's nothing that will allow me to achieve that goal until I go into the subconscious and actually root out those beliefs and deal with those belief systems. Like I won't. So if you're like, why am I not successful and Russell so successful or anything like that? Like it's in your own psychology. It's not circumstantial, right? It's just subconscious.
Can I chime in here for just a second?
Yeah.
I don't want to take up too much time because I know I'm going to be, you know, the person that's speaking on the book club all the time, right? You guys are going to hear from me all the time, but I was thinking, Annie, about when you were the guest on the last book club call that we had, and you were talking about how we have those neural pathways in our mind, right? And if you direct your attention and create a new pathway, what happens to the old pathway, the old trail, right? That old route in your brain, it becomes overgrown. And so I think, like, back to what we were talking about just a minute ago with the resistance, like, I feel like so many times people give too much credit to the devil or the adversary, what Russell Garz calls the resistance. Like, and a lot of the times it isn't even that negative force. It's just our own subconscious mind limiting us from our potential. And we're like, oh, it's Satan. It's whatever. It's the outside. It's our environment. It's all those extra details. But really, it's just our mind. Like, and I love the main thing that I've noticed as a common denominator that I've been reading through Robert Collier's book is that the obstacle is a way. And I'm like, oh, I've heard that all my life. But I was like, it really literally is. Like, if you can figure out the solution to the problem, the obstacle that's right in front of you, and just push past your own resistance and get through and tap into, you know, your nervous system and work on healing that, oh, like... sky's the limit, right? It's just, it's super cool. I'm excited to dive into this. There's some pretty cool things we're going to learn. So.
So cool. All right. I got three quotes and I'll pass off to the next person to dive by their fair part. So the last three quotes I'm going to share, they have to do with subconscious mind that, or maybe four quotes. Sorry. There's so many quotables from this book. okay. First of all, he says the subconscious part in us is called the subjective mind because it does not decide in command. The subconscious mind does not decide in command. It is a subject rather than a ruler. Its nature is to do what it is told, what is really in the heart. Sorry, reading live is always awkward. Its nature is to do what is told or what is really in your heart of hearts you desire. So the thing that you're planning, the seed that you're desiring the most, that's why it's so important to think about the thing you want and like constantly, like not just once or twice. Like the things I've been the most successful in my life, like when I wanted to be a wrestler, like I wanted to be a state champion and an All-American, like I thought about those things a billion times a day. That's all I thought about. My teacher was talking about math and I'm sitting there trying to figure out how in the world this relates to wrestling and how I'm going to become a state champ. Like, you know, like that's all I'd ever think about. But like that desire was so in there that that everything else figured out a way to make that happen. I almost was going to play a clip from the book, the audio, because I was listening to the audiobook while I was reading along. And I told Eileen and Annie this lot yesterday, but I was like, this book of all the ones I've read on subconscious mind was the one that made me like the most, God, it was just like, so much belief in what, like in the book, he talks about, he's like, do you know how to gauge the salt content you need? And if you're playing tennis and how to increase the sodium in your blood versus if you go take a nap or this or that. And like all he's like, no, he's not even the smartest scientist on the planet know that, but your subconscious mind knows that, it's programmed that. It knows how to grow your hair, how to make sure that you have long hair here and short hair here. And like, all like, it does all that kind of stuff automatically. And it's like, if it knows how to do that, like that's already in us. Like, how do we tap into that? So it's like, we need to plant the desires and then the subconscious mind will do the things, like it'll get us to the spots. It creates the opportunities for us, which is so cool. You guys are going to love it. If you just go tomorrow to Whitney's book club and just read book number one, that's it. You'll get so much out of it. If you don't even jump through the rest of it, but you read the rest of it, it's even better. Okay. Last three quotes. Dream lofty dreams. And as you dream, so shall you become. Your vision is the promise of what you shall one day be. Your ideal is the prophecy of what you shall at last unveil. It's from James Allen. Okay. So again, dreaming lofty dreams, because your dreams is what becomes. Next, he was talking about Napoleon, and he said, this was interesting. He said, what made Napoleon great? It was Napoleon's faith in himself. Mm-hmm. And then eventually Napoleon lost. He said, what made him lose? He said, it was his loss of faith in himself. One of the biggest things you have to have is faith in yourself. In fact, during Christmas time, So Andy and Eileen are like my therapist half the time. So like, we have a Voxer group. We just share ideas and stuff. But during Christmas, I was struggling. Like if you listen to my podcast back then, I was struggling with a lot of different things. And I literally was reading Robert Collier, January 1928 issue of his magazine. And the biggest takeaway I got was like, I have to reinstate belief in myself. I was like, that's the thing that I lost. It was not belief in anything else. It was belief in myself. And I was like, oh my gosh, like it hit me like a pound of bricks. And if you notice my transition from December to like just moving forward, and like I've come in different because I like regaining my belief in myself. And I was like, I reread that. I was like, what made Napoleon great? It was his faith in Napoleon. What made him lose? The loss of faith in himself. And then the last thing is our achievements today are about the sum of our thoughts from yesterday, from Pascal. Oh, so good. So many good things. So anyway, so there's book number one. A real quick recap of my favorite parts. So, all right, who wants to go next? Annie or Eileen? Who should I pass it to?
Everyone's jump in.
Okay.
Annie, you're up. Talk about your favorite parts of the book. What do you want to talk about?
I have three that I want to talk about. Money, the universal mind, and the law of supply. So first, talking about money, I was just, again, blown away by how this man thought and how he thought almost 100 years ago now. And so what he said about money, and I think money has been a thing where it's, you know, in a lot of sort of, especially like if with a Christian upbringing, you know, maybe it's evil and we have this baggage around money. And he just really reframed money in a way that I'd never heard before. He said, you know, money is actually ideas. Wealth is an idea, is not money. You know, money is just the medium of exchange for ideas. And so the paper money in your pocket is worth almost nothing, but it's the ideas behind it that give it value. So like factories, buildings, materials, everything, all of that would fall to pieces after the idea behind them gave out. And so he said, like, don't go out seeking wealth, look for ideas. And the kingdom of God is within you. So you can find the ideas from within like God and outside of you. And then he said, which really blew my mind. He said, you don't need money. Money needs you. Money needs your ideas to be useful in the world because money is just one of our ways that we humans have given energy exchange in the world, value exchange in the world. So money actually needs you and needs your ideas to be useful in the world. And it needs you a lot more than you need it. So seeking it is like very righteous because if you don't do it, then you cannot give birth to these ideas because it is the energy by which, you know, none of this that you've done, Russell, with Secrets of Success or being able to, how much have you spent on books, right? None of that would happen without money. Money needed you to be able to give birth to like of this, right?
So interesting.
So good.
Hopefully that releases some people who struggle with that. It amazes me how many people struggle with just like the belief that money is evil or the pursuit of it's going to be a bad thing versus like understanding that. That's a good reframe. It's really cool.
Loved that. I thought it was so cool. And then the other aspect that he talked a lot about, which, you know, I've heard this in various different ways before, and it definitely, for me, seems really apparent when you think about physics and quantum physics, but he calls it the universal mind. And so he kind of, for him, and again, what you said, Russell, was so true about this book. He's really trying to tie in, you know, the truths about, you know, what they were reading in the Bible with the truths about what they were learning in science. And so he was kind of calling what maybe in the Bible they would call the Christ consciousness, the universal mind. And so he was saying that through this universal mind, most people think that thinking is just kind of like watching your memories flow by your field of consciousness. And you're just sitting there and you're watching your memories flow by. But what he's talking about thinking is he's like, I mean, thinking with a purpose, with an end in view to solve a problem. And I don't mean thinking like in snatches. I mean, significant time and thought on one thing and often one thing that is like just interesting, but not even necessarily of significance in that moment to you, but it actually lies outside of the bounds of your narrow personal welfare. And that kind of thinking is what's so sadly needed because it's in that kind of thinking that our subconscious mind can actually like join with the universal mind, which I just thought was so cool. And I want to give my own little spin to this idea. This universal mind, like how can we conceptualize it, right? Like what is this thing that he's talking about? This consciousness that's going to give us these brilliant ideas and plant within us these seeds of like, insight. And if we just spend time in thought, in, you know, in looking in insight, that's just going to happen. What is that like? And he goes on to talk about how if you look at like a potato plant, and you just look at a potato and then watch how it becomes a potato plant and produces more potatoes, it's inconceivable because the potato doesn't have a brain. Or if you think, you know, about a human baby, right? The beginnings of a human baby, there's no brain. And yet somehow the baby knows how to become formed, knows how to grow a heart, knows how to grow lungs, knows how to grow all of these things. And so he's like, of course, there's something else, some intelligence that is so far beyond us that we don't understand, but it is also part of us. He says, it's like, if this intelligence is the entirety of the ocean, then we're a drop. And the drop has the same chemistry, the same chemical compound as the entirety of the ocean, right? If this intelligence is, you know, a lightning bolt, then we're a spark. And we have the exact same compound and chemistry as the lightning bolt. We just need to seek it inside of ourselves by thinking and going inwards and inside of ourselves. And if you wanted to bring this all the way back to kind of physics, one of the most mind-blowing facts that I heard a few years ago was the idea that inside the atom, which he talks about atoms in this book, which is so cool because, again, it was written in 1926 and he's talking about these ideas. But inside an atom, he said all of energy, all of matter basically distills down to the particles in an atom, which, you know, there's a positive particle in the proton and then there's a negative particle in the electron. And he says in all of those things, everything that we see, all of matter is just basically those two energetic positive and negative energies, those two electric fields, right? But if you think about an atom, if one atom was the entire size of a baseball stadium, the actual matter, the proton and the electron, and they're the size of peanuts. And everything else inside that entire baseball stadium is, I mean, there's nothing. And so scientists call it the strong force. And they just admittedly say we had to come up with a cool name because we literally have no idea what is holding the atom together. So it's called the strong atomic force. But if you have any inkling into like spirituality, it, of course, it's the universal mind. Of course, it's the consciousness. Of course, it's the intelligence that's holding the whole thing together. Because without it, if it's 99.9% empty space, it would just all fly apart. But we don't fly apart. Like my coffee cup holds together. You know, this computer holds together. My being holds together. And there's so much intelligence. And he is saying that if we just go like into ourselves, we can access that. And I also think he talks so much about the kingdom of heaven being within. And if you think of that, if I'm in a baseball stadium and there's these two tiny little peanuts and I'm focused on these two peanuts, which is the matter in the world, and I'm not focused on the 99.9% that's all around me, that is this vast intelligence, that is this Christ consciousness, and I'm missing it because I'm so focused on the two little peanuts, I've failed to recognize that 99.999% of me is that universal mind, is that God force, is that Christ consciousness. And that's what he just keeps saying. He's like, so you just have to go within to access that intuition, to access those ideas in those moments. And we are that. Like it's like the drop in the ocean. We are that thing. We're not different than that. We just have to recognize it.
Fire.
Oh, cool.
Fire sauce. I'm so good, Annie.
Do you ever, when I told you, Annie's the smartest person you ever met, huh?
It's so wow.
Cool. I don't get to sit like this with Annie. Tell us more about atoms. Yeah. So good.
That's awesome.
So the last thing I wanted to chime in on is just, he talks about this law of supply. And I remember having a moment where I was feeling really like discouraged. And he talks about discouragement too, about how you can pick it up and you can put it back down. And it doesn't have to be your default way. Like we can really train our brains to have hope instead of discouragement. But you know, if anybody's felt discouraged, I remember feeling there was just a moment in my life where I had really wanted to create a just amazing app to help people sort of their first 30 days alcohol free. And I was so excited about this. And I was working with some contacts through Russell, with some people in Vietnam who were developing this app. And I opened up Facebook and somebody had gotten there first. Like somebody had published this thing, and it was this company in the UK. And they'd published this app, and it was obviously had taken millions of dollars, which I didn't have. And it was like so sexy. And I was like, oh my gosh. And I felt so discouraged. And I remember looking outside of my window, there's all these pine trees, and thinking like, there's so many pine needles on that tree. And there's so many pine cones on that tree. And I just had this thought, like, there's actually no lack. Like there's actually no lack. And in this book, Eileen, the mind explosion, I was like, oh my gosh, he talks about this. He talks about this idea that if you believe there's any lack in the world, all you have to do is look into the sky and see how many stars there are, or look on the beach and see how many grains of sand there are, or look at your hair and see how many strands there are. I mean, there's just no lack. And so he has this quote, and I'll just end with this. And it says, I loved it so much because he's like, because of the law of supply, there's no lack of opportunity. He says, it's best expressed in this poem, Opportunity. It says, the best verse hasn't been rhymed yet. The best house hasn't been planned. The highest peak hasn't been climbed yet. The mightiest rivers aren't spanned. Don't worry and fret faint-hearted. The chances have just begun. The best jobs haven't been started. The best work hasn't been done. And it's amazing to think the things that we're doing now are actually creating the best jobs and the best opportunity. And we can just go in and think and seek the ideas and produce like the best is yet to come. It was just one of the coolest and most hopeful reframes.
So cool. Thank you, Annie. That's amazing. Oh man. So cool. All right, Eileen, you're up. What are your favorite parts?
Well, I was wondering if anybody in the chat or on this call remembers being normal. Like, do you remember being like a normal person before Secrets of Success, or you met Russell and before you knew that all these books existed? Like, do you remember being like normal? I know I think it was a few years ago, I remember being normal, but he talks in this book about the difference kind of between normal people and successful people is normal people have just mild desires, but successful people have a dominating desire. Isn't that, it's like, whoa, right? Dominating desire. And so it's like, I remember having mild desires. And if you think about people, like even that come to mind, like you're like, yeah, like that's how the majority, the masses are living mild. He says that actually they go around dreaming and wishing, jogging along as if in a rut. It says going through the same routine day after day, hoping that one day fortune will drop in their lap. But he says, fortune does not play such pranks, and a rut differs from a grave only in depth.
Whoa.
Jogging along, dreaming and wishing in a rut, and the depth is this far away from the grave. But he says the successful people have a dominating desire. And I don't know about you, all of you here and those watching, like, have you ever wondered if you're like doing it right? You know, you hear Napoleon Hill and you're like, definite chief aim, or, you know, and you're like, am I chiefing right? Am I aiming correctly? Like, is it burning enough? You know, and it's so cool because Robert Collier talks about this framework that successful people, they actually know how to acquire desire. And he says that the way that successful people acquire more and more desire, it's just like what you did, Russell, earlier, it's through attention. So he says they know that the more attention that they put on something, or catch this, if you want to decrease desire for something, all you must do is decrease attention. He said, but successful people, they concentrate. He actually said that it's much like they get lost in a ball game, like watching a football game. It's much like how they get lost in listening to the theater or lost in a performance. It's just a total concentrated absorption is what he called it. And they acquire desire simply through more attention. Which I thought, oh my gosh, isn't this so cool? Inside Secrets of Success and the Mastermind, it's like, we're all like, because our attention is on these books. I don't know about you guys. And when you guys read this book, it's like, your brain is like lit on fire. Like last night, I was like, I literally can't sleep because the secrets of the universe are being like unlocked in my brain. So it's like attention is the way successful people increase and turn up the volume on their dominating desire. So then he had this, like the coolest thing to think about this book, you guys, when you read it, is Robert Collier has woven a lot of literature and poetry, things that I've never heard before. And he has this killer poem at the end. He says, if you want a thing bad enough to go out and fight for it, work day and night for it, give up your time and your peace and your sleep for it, if only desire of it makes you quite mad enough never to tire of it, makes you hold all other things tawdry and cheap for it, if life seems empty and useless without it, and all that you're thinking about your library, Russell, and all that you scheme and you dream about is for it, and if gladly you'll sweat for it, fret for it, plan for it, lose all your terror of God and man for it, if you'll simply go after that thing that you want with all your capacity, strength, and sagacity, faith, hope, and confidence, stern pertinacity, if neither cold poverty, famished and gaunt, nor sickness, nor pain of body or brain can turn you away from that thing that you want, if dogged and grim you besiege and you beset it, he says, you will get it.
I have so many chills. It's so good.
So good.
Robert Collier.
You read that poem, or is he quoting a poem?
He's quoting a poem from Barton Brayley in a book called Things as They Are.
New book for me to go buy tonight.
Or I know.
5 seconds from now. That's so cool.
That's what I love about it. It's more like caught from the book than taught from the book. Is this overwhelming increase of burning desire and ability to know you can have whatever it is that you want if you have a dominating desire. It's just fire. That's the whole thing.
So, I literally want to print that out and read that every morning.
I know, right?
As I step into the day, like imagine that's the frame you're walking into the day with.
100%.
That's so cool.
Huh. Yeah, it is so cool.
Which book was that in so everyone can go find it?
Do you remember? Which volume? In Robert Collier's? Oh, sorry.
Oh, I think I knew it. Volume 3, Chapter 8.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Chapter 8 is fire. That's the law of supply, the one you were talking about too, Annie. So good. I just wanted to leave this one last kind of mind explosion. I fell asleep thinking about this, that I thought if everything that we want, everyone watching, is on the other side of a dominating desire, and desire is the thing that births and draws in the thing into our subconscious mind that then creates it. I was thinking to myself, wow, the universal mind, or God, or whatever it is that you may believe, like we each of us here were birthed out of a dominating desire. Like it was a burning desire in the mind of God. You watching this, like you were birthed. If we birth things by having a burning desire, just think about the kind of desire that was behind creating you.
Yeah. Think about your worthiness, each of our worthiness. Amazing.
Like we were like very desired, our intricate, unique makeup. And we were birthed out of a dominating desire. So.
Ah, man. Whitney, I'm jealous that you get to hang out with all these people going deep on this for the next.
You guys are invited anytime you want.
Oh,
so cool. I want to show everyone, because I know in comments people are already asking, like, how do I get this book? So a couple ways. Number one, if you want a first edition, hot off the presses, it's going to cost you probably, I don't know, $5,000-$10,000 to get one, depending if you got signed or not signed. These are definitely available. You can find them. Or if you like, my team did a whole bunch of effort. We went and scanned them all, designed them all, got them looking beautiful, and we had someone physically record an entire audiobook. And for all Secrets to Success members, it's free for you. So I'm going to show you guys how to get it, because some people don't know how this all works yet. And some of you guys aren't members. So let me see. Can you see my desktop right now? It's got the book on there.
Yes.
Okay. So here's the book. Like, we scan the entire thing into ebook format, so you can listen to it. You can put it on your Kindle or put it on your iPad, whatever. You can read it. So the whole book's here, which is awesome. But then also, if you log into the members area, so this is the members area of Secrets to Success. You click on library, and these are all the books we are scanning for you guys. It literally costs, each book costs, between scanning and the audiobooks, like we're like $5,000 to $8,000 per book we're putting here. And we're doing like 2 a month for you guys. So just so you know, especially when it's like a big book set like this. Okay. So if you click right here and you look around, like, where is our buddy? Boom, Robert Collier. There he is right there. You click on him. And right there's The Secret of the Ages. So you click on that. You see there's a 363 page ebook and then 9.5 hour audiobook. Click on that. And then it's here. So you can listen to it in the members area, or I like doing, you can stream it to your favorite app. So literally what I do is, you scan the QR code, and if you have an active membership site, it puts it on your favorite podcast app. So you can listen to it while you're driving or running or working out. And so that's what I do. And then you can download the PDF right here as well. And then this is my hack for learning. If you guys want to know my secret, who wants to know my secret for how I learn? So
yeah.
If you ever notice, like when you read, sometimes your brain gets lost, or you listen to audiobooks, sometimes your brain gets lost. So if you listen to audiobooks while you read, that's the best way to like, it shuts off all the other senses. And people like ADD with me, like if you have ADD like me, if you're trying to do like one thing at a time, it's really hard to focus. But if you do like five things at once, it's easier. So what I literally do is I put the audiobook in, I put it at like 3x speed, and then I follow along and I read at the same time. And that's how I'm able to focus and actually get the information. And I can do it faster because I can listen. If I listen to a book at 3x speed, it's hard to keep up. If I read it like speed read, it's hard to understand. But if I do both at the same time, it changes everything for me. So there's my little hack. That's why we're giving you guys a PDF and the ebook as much as we can. So if you're like me, you can listen and read. Selfishly, I'm doing that for me, but you guys all get the benefit of it, which is awesome. So that's, and then study hall. This is where, I'm not sure if we updated this. Yeah, so Secret of the Ages right here. This is the one that's starting on tomorrow. So you click right here, it has all the training schedule and everything you guys need to go get access and jump in there. And then for those who are not yet active members, a couple things you can do. So if you go to secretsofsuccess.com, it's hard to say that fast. you click here and join the community. Click on that button and it'll take you to this page right here. And this page, basically what you do is you sign up for free. We ship you out a box with a copy of Think and Grow Rich, plus two unpublished Napoleon Hill books that are insane. And then you access the whole membership site. You also get the audiobook of me reading Laws of Success that I bought for $1.5 million and a whole bunch of other things. But if you're not a member yet, go get in there. You can just test drive it for 30 days. Like just jump in, get the kit in the mail. You get 30-day free trial. And then from there, you can go to the entire book club with Whitney for the next month and go deep on this book and see if this is your community. These are your people. If you love it, if you want to keep geeking out and learning it. And then on top of that, obviously you can log in and get access to all of the, all the other stuff inside the members area. And there's a lot of really, really cool things. There's this whole like program I'm recording each month here, which is really good. You can dive into it. There's so much cool stuff. And so I just want you guys to be aware that the Secrets of Success membership site is amazing. So if you are a member, make sure you're logging in and taking advantage of it all. If you're not yet a member, now's time to go. You go to secretsofsuccess.com/roundpegs. There's a link, secretsofsuccess.com/roundpegs. Go get signed up. Again, it's free. You cover shipping handling for the box set, and you get a 30-day trial to go play in the members area, hang out with us, have some fun, learn some stuff, change your life. And that's kind of the game plan. So there's your soft pitch. I didn't want to hard pitch anybody, but I did want you to know that that's available and be there because Whitney starts tomorrow going deep into this book set. And if you got a glimpse of like what's possible just from us hearing all of us talk about today and you get excited, I want to encourage you to be part of that. And again, all the past book clubs are there as well. Like last, the one that you're just finished up, it was How to Get Anything You Want by Elsie Lincoln Benedict, which was my first favorite book series. This is number two. Like you guys are getting the cream of the crop. And so like all the recordings from that are in there. So if you want to go back to that book. So the membership site keeps growing and building. And it's a really cool, exciting thing. So anyway, so thank you, Eileen. Thank you, Annie. Thank you, Whitney. I'm going to pass it back to you, Whitney, to kind of end things up. But I had fun today going through this stuff. And I hope you guys all enjoy geeking out Robert Collier. This is the first of many things we'll be publishing from him. Because he's one of the best. He's one of my favorites for sure.
I want to say one quick thing before we stop. So, at the very end of it, it's in volume 6. Volume 6 starts out with something, and Eileen and I have talked before. She calls it the reality distortion field. When you're around certain individuals, that they literally change and shape your reality because of who they are. Mm-hmm. And this is how this chapter starts. It says, among your friends, there's one of those men who doesn't have much use for the word can't. You marvel at his capacity for work. You admire him the more. The longer you know him, you'll always respect him. For not only has he made good, but he will always make good. He has found and appropriated himself to absolute confidence in himself. And it goes on. And for me, like Russell, that's you. And being in proximity to you and being close to you. And for anybody who's specifically, if you're curious about joining this, like one of the most powerful things about everything that Russell has brought together is seeing it through Russell's eyes and being closer to Russell and being closer to the being that Russell is that actually does distort reality for all of us. For me, when I first met Russell, I was just looking to like replace my corporate income. I never imagined that I'd go on to sell millions of books and, you know, touch hundreds of thousands of people and make millions and millions of dollars. And it's because, you know, there's one of those men who doesn't have use for the word can't, and you admire him more the longer you respect him, or the longer you know him, the more you respect him. And it's just such a privilege to be in any proximity to you, Russell, and for you to create all of this. So Anything anyone can do to get closer to people like Russell who just bend reality around them, you know, do it.
Well, thank you. Wow. I was not expecting that. I'm blushing. Back to you,
Amen,
Whitney.
Amen. Amen. Wow. That was, couldn't have said it better myself. Cool. Well, thank you three for coming together and joining me and everybody else that's already either in the membership or they're thinking about it and they're going to join it. You guys, this is the time. This is a super, super cool opportunity that we have right in front of us. I do want to give a couple details really quick about the book club that is starting tomorrow. So Friday, February 2nd, we're kicking things off. It's going to be held over Zoom, very similar setting to this masterclass right now. The book club is going to start at 10 a.m. Mountain Time, 12 o'clock Eastern, and it typically lasts about an hour. And just for those of you who have never joined before, who you're brand new to this environment, I just wanted to give you a little bit of a heads up of how the outline of the class will go. I will give some personal development training, very similar to Russell's modules. It's all very relative to what we're learning inside of the book that we're discussing for that particular month. And then after I teach for roughly about a half an hour, we divide up into small groups and they are what we call our breakout sessions. And so, we put you guys into groups of like four or five people and you're able to, you know, unmute yourself, show yourself on camera and just make some new friends, get to know everybody else in the community and share your insights, your gold nuggets that you've been learning, just like Russell and Eileen and Annie have today. You guys can talk amongst yourselves and be like, this is what I've discovered. And it's so helpful to hear the perspective of other people. Don't you guys agree? Like,
totally.
Just, I mean, hearing you three, I'm like, wow, these are things that I just read through in the last couple of days. And I had never thought about it from that perspective. So I think from all the feedback I've received from the hundreds of members that have been part of these book clubs so far, like the biggest thing they say is like the breakout sessions are just so super cool because I'm creating new relationships, friendships with people, and I'm learning things that I would have never thought of before. We're also going to be doing Q&As from time to time where you guys will have the opportunity to raise your hand and share with the entire group what you're hearing for you. And that way we can just hold a space where everybody feels like they can use their voice and share with one another. So it's going to be super cool. So for this particular book club, for The Secret of the Ages, it will last for 7 weeks. It will run every Friday consecutively through March 15th. And then for our very first call together, we're going to be discussing volume one. So the way that Robert Collier has divided this up is he's put just a few chapters inside of 7 volumes total. Okay. Like what Russell showed us earlier. So every week we'll just discuss the next following volume, and don't let that word volume overwhelm you or intimidate you, because it's not like it's this grand book. Russell just showed us the size of them. Volume one covers just chapters 1 and 2. And I think it was like, what was it? Maybe 30, 35 pages roughly. It was, and it's a very easy read. Would you guys agree with that? Like,
yeah. It's exciting to read. It's like treasure hunting.
Super exciting, but it's just every level of readers can come in and just take so many cool takeaways and gold nuggets from it. So how to register, if you haven't already registered for the call, is once you are signed up as a member of Secrets of Success, you'll go to secretsofsuccess.com, you'll log in with your username and password. And from the home screen on the left-hand side, there's all these different tabs that you can go to, different categories. And if you go to the one that says training schedule, it will pop up calendar and it shows all the dates and times of when we're going to be meeting. And then also if you scroll over the date of that particular training, it will bring up a hyperlink so you can register for that call. And you just need to make sure that you register for each individual call. Don't think that once you've registered once, you're good to go for the entire series of the book club. You need to make sure you go and register for each week, and then you'll get a confirmation email that has the link to join us live. So super cool. But yeah, thank you, Russell. First of all, I just want you to know, and I know I'm just echoing everybody else in the community, thank you for gifting us this incredible opportunity of just this beautiful movement that's starting in the personal development world and introducing us to Robert Collier. Like, I wouldn't know that him or even Elsie Lincoln Benedict even exist, let alone that they have all these incredible books, if it wasn't for you. And Annie, Eileen, thank you guys so much for just taking time out of your busy days to join us for this masterclass. It's been a cool hour to spend with you guys. I've had a great time. So, and lastly, thank you guys, all of you in the audience who have attended this call. You guys are the rock stars. You guys are the, you know, what makes up this community, what makes up this mastermind. So I hope you guys know how much we care about you and how much we are rooting for you and cheering for your successes. So I don't believe it was any coincidence that we all came together on this call today. And for those of you who are considering joining this mastermind, I would just encourage you, don't wait another day. This has been so life-changing for me, even on the back end of it. Watching everything develop and progress has been such a cool thing to witness. And I just feel like, you know, if you're here, like I said, it wasn't by coincidence, and it's your time to go and do something great with your life. Not just something good, but something really super cool. So anyway, thank you guys again for joining the call. I hope to see so many of your faces tomorrow on the very first day of the book club kickoff. And I wish you all well. Hope you have a great day. We'll see you soon.
Thanks, everybody.
See ya.